Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. It's Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you live here on the air for the next 4 hours or so. It is, I think, going to stay dry today until tonight. So, you know, be on your toes if you're out and about and we start raining again, then we get any of this flooding. We're going to get you through the morning here. It's a cloudy morning. Tommy, get that coffee flowing. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always having that available for our entire Odyssey family. But we get the start of the NBA Finals tonight. We get double Royals baseball today because the weather that we've been dealing with had bled over to St. Louis apparently last night. And so we get two Royals games today. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to all of it. We'll have Jalen Thompson in today to help out with his travel schedule with the team tomorrow. So he'll be in, should be a little later in this hour. Tim Fitzgerald also going to join today. We'll talk the latest on K-State. They got another international player yesterday. And then we will also talk to Fitz about everything going on in the world of college sport, all these rules, changes, these proposals that we're seeing. It's all coming for you today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Thursday. I didn't know how to spend my evening last night since we didn't have Royals baseball.
What'd you do?
It was tough. I'm a Braves fan, obviously, so I tried to watch a little bit of that game. They're not playing well right now at all. They can't hit. They're kind of like the Royals right now, kind of like your Rangers right now. So that was not a whole lot of fun to watch, but I'm ready for a doubleheader today. There's nothing I like more than day-night baseball.
Yeah, Rangers got their butts kicked yesterday, too. I didn't make it home in time for that. Our son had his birthday, so we went to dinner, and then we got home. No baseball, though. No time for that. You know what I started a couple of nights ago? You know what I'm going to do? And I've never done this show. Cheers. You know, Norm died. And I was like, why haven't I watched Cheers? I'm a little young to have caught it, of course, when it was in its heyday. But I'm like, there's a 100% chance I'm going to love this show. Have you watched Cheers?
I haven't watched it through, but I've seen some of it. I probably have seen, I don't know, 20 episodes, you know, in different parts of my life, different times in my life. It's good. It's a good show.
Norm! How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough.
Imagine Max's Cheers fan. Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces, not nearly enough, but I know that I would love it. And so I did. I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to do now. That's, you know, I'm going to go back. And I've tried to go through, not, you know, that's probably as far back as I would go. But whenever there's that hit, like sitcom, I love sitcoms. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch it. And so I'm going to do that now with Cheers and see how it stacks up.
What streaming service is it on?
Paramount Plus.
Okay.
Paramount Plus.
Here's what you do, Jacob.
What's that? What's that, Max?
Go to YouTube and there's every Norm Peterson entrance into the bar. It runs 18 and a half minutes.
I saw that. I love that. I think I saw that the day he died. And that's part of what inspired me. Like, it didn't take much to be like, you know what? This is still going to track. Like, this is going to track. And essentially, Ted Danson's character is like my dream retirement job, right? Just a real casual daytime, you know, bar. Just be like a bartender. But like, so it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So I did a little, I think I watched a couple episodes last night without baseball. But we're going to get plenty of baseball today because we get a doubleheader. We get two games. So you'll have the Royals coming up here. And we'll get with Jalen Thompson on this. I don't know how this messes with the plan on the pitching rotation, but you'll get Noah Cameron right now, I believe, is projected in game one, and then Cole Reagan's still projected in his regular spot. So everyone just slides over. But of course, that means now Cameron on the next turn would be on one fewer day rest. So we'll see how that affects everything as, you know, Michael Lorenzen's been struggling, and if they're about to have six guys, and what do you do with Noah Cameron and all these things? We'll see if they've given any indication, but that is what will happen today. The first game coming at 12:45 and then 6:45. You'll hear them both right here on KFH. So we're excited about that. You can hear them also on the Odyssey app as well as this show. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us voice messages with a little microphone icon, whether you're listening to us live, as some of you might be right now, or from the future because you're listening to the show in podcast form. Either way works. You can also leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X, all available for you. You can leave comments straight there into the social media, as well as our appreciation for watching us on 12 News Connected, and then, of course, for listening to us here on KFH. If you're doing that and you want to get in touch with the program, you can call us at 869-1240. The good old-fashioned way. We will do some giveaways today. We'll give away some HTO, but our big giveaway that we're doing that's been wildly popular, we're to Thursday of the first week, is a Crestview Country Club round of golf for two, cart included. We're going to do this every Friday this month, and so you're going to have opportunities to win that. We'll tell you how a little bit later in the show, but we're, you know, excited to be able to do that. We've been working on that for a while. Tommy and the folks over at Crestview have finally got that put together, and here we go. Perfect timing, and you'll play a little golf on us if you can win that contest. So we'll get you those details a little bit later as well. I don't know. Are we in good golf weather? Is it too soggy? I'm going to try to play
too wet.
Maybe a couple of holes in between radio and TV today.
Too wet. I mean, it depends on if we get any more rain this morning. When I was driving into the studio, we were getting a little bit of rain on this side of town. Nothing crazy, just a little sprinkle. So it depends upon, you know, if that continues. But I would imagine, I mean, things are drying out a little bit because of yesterday, but it's still pretty soggy out there, I would think.
Oh, man. Well, we'll see. If it's cart path only when I get it. It's going to be cart path only? Probably.
Probably.
Man. Well, I was going to try to play a bunch of holes.
Does that change your mind at all? Like, does that, like, make it different? Like, I'm not going to play if it's cart path only?
No,
or
it changes how many holes I can cram into about an hour and a half or 2 hours, probably, which is usually the window I'm looking at. So, no, I played a couple weeks ago, I think, and it was cart path only, and I got in 18. I did pretty good. Like, I don't care. I like the exercise, to be perfectly honest. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but just walk 18. I mean, just carry the bag on your back.
I've never done it. I need a cart thingy.
Oh, push cart? You can just wear the bag on your back. That's what Max Homa did. He was trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. And it's, you know, notoriously difficult to qualify for the U.S. Open. And this was earlier this week. He had to go play. They call it the longest day of golf. You play 36 holes in a day to get like the final spot in the U.S. Open. And he hadn't qualified. And so he went and did that hardest or longest day of golf. And he carried his bag on his shoulders and walked 36 holes of golf to try to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Did he?
No, I don't believe he did.
Why didn't he have his caddy?
Because I think he split with his caddy a few weeks ago and didn't have one with him. And so he was his own caddy and carried his bags for 36 holes. And this is a guy that, had played in the Masters most recently and like a year ago was in contention at the Masters. Now he's carrying his own bag, humping it around, trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. Golf is a very humbling sport. I'll tell you that much.
How many beers did he drink?
Oh. Would have had to drink a bunch in 36 holes. Come on.
Just to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
That's a lot of walking. All right. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. But we'll have the details on how you can get out there and play a little golf at Crestview later in the show. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll browse around because we're going to talk a lot of Royals with Jalen Thompson later in the hour. So a wild College World Series in softball that we've talked a little bit about. We may get into that more with Fitz. We may touch on it. And a look ahead to the NBA Finals. We'll go headline browsing here when we return on Sports Daily.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday. Getting ready for a double dip of Royals baseball. Jalen Thompson will join the show in the next segment. So stay tuned for that, Royals fans. We're looking around the sports headlines today. Of course, the NBA Finals start tonight. Pacers, Thunder. We both like the Thunder. We both hope for a highly entertaining and good series. Don't subscribe to the, you know, oh man, the small markets. That's my least favorite, you know, conversation. It always happens with the NBA too. It doesn't really, they try to get into it with Major League Baseball, but I think it never, like, people are just like, what are you talking about? Who cares? Like, you're going to watch if it's your team or you're a baseball fan, and if it's not, it wouldn't matter who's playing. I kind of feel the same way with the NBA, other than maybe LeBron James. Like, if LeBron James is involved, I think more people are watching. Other than that, I think fans of the teams involved watch, diehard junkies watch, and then for the most part, you know, basketball fans who maybe aren't the biggest followers of the league, you and I both fall into that category, sample it for the most part and lock in if they're great games, but have no problem walking out if they're not. And so I don't think that changes, whether it's the, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics playing again, unless it's LeBron. If LeBron plays, I think everybody watches. Other than that, I think we all just enjoy it if the games are good. And I hope the games are good in this series. Because I think you've got two young ascending teams with interesting coaches and interesting styles and interesting players, and a great series could really elevate the brand of all these dudes. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, Thunder 9.5 is where that line's been tonight. So the expectation is for the Thunder to flex a little bit. You think they'll have any issues here in game one?
No, I don't think so. I think they will flex a little bit. I think that, you know, because of where they're located in the country, I think that they, you know, don't get the attention that they deserve. And that I don't think they have throughout the entire regular season and into the postseason. I think that this postseason, people have really started to pay attention more to what the Thunder has done, but they really went all in this year. Now they built the nucleus over time with the draft picks and the young guys and bringing in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren has sort of blossomed into a burgeoning star in the NBA. But it was really, I think, an underrated acquisition that didn't get a ton of publicity at the time going into this year, and that was the acquisition of Alex Caruso that really changed things for the Thunder this season. And I think that has been the key difference maker, especially defensively. You know, we knew that they had the offense. I think we knew that SGA could produce at a high level and all of that. But when you get in, when you bring in an elite defender like Caruso and add him to the mix, then all of a sudden you become as complete of a basketball team as you possibly can be. And that's been the Thunder this year, going all the way back to the regular season and then throughout the postseason. I think that they will be able to take game one. I think at home they'll be able to take game two as well.
Yeah, and if that happens, then then we could be getting into a series that doesn't look close. So we'll see. I mean, I know there are a lot of Thunder fans here, so I'd like to see them win. But that game is tonight. A couple other things out there. The Women's College World Series. I did not watch it as it happened, but I caught up to it as Texas wins the first one. You want to talk about high drama. Man, that game was high drama that ends up coming down to an attempted intentional walk that did not go the way that the Texas Tech pitcher intended it to. Canada, who's kind of been their star through all this. I believe they brought her in from like Stanford. She was one of the big acquisitions they made this offseason. And Texas's star gets a hit on an attempted intentional walk that didn't work. It was Reese Atwood, who's their star player. So there was a big controversial review in this. Man, that is like, that's good stuff for a championship, for especially for those two schools. They do not like each other, Tech and Texas. They're not conference foes anymore. But that is, you know, it's not the same kind of heat as Texas A&M Texas, but it's a lot of heat. You remember the Chris Beard situation with those two? Like, those two schools don't like each other. So the fact that we get that kind of drama in game one is pretty awesome, actually, in the College World Series.
Yeah, I haven't locked in much, you know, admittedly, to the Women's College World Series yet.
The Tech story is really good.
Other than the Tech story, you know, them knocking off Oklahoma and you know, doing what they've done. And now, of course, like with Texas and all of that, the drama, the bad blood between those two programs. Other than that, that's about the only thing I've really paid attention to in the College World Series. And that's, you know, that's a team that I think it's fairly easy to get behind in this neck of the woods with the Big 12 connection and the fact that, you know, they're probably, I mean, what, outside of OU, probably the closest team still alive. And I mean, obviously they knocked off OU, but like they're probably in proximity, the closest team still alive to Wichita, right? Like,
well, yeah, you've got the final there. So yeah, they've been the closest for a while.
Yeah.
So you're trying to, Texas is trying to become a College World Series champion. They've been the runner up, losing right to Oklahoma two of the last 3 years, and Texas Tech's trying to get it done. And, you know, the fact that you've got a championship on the line between these two schools is pretty fantastic. And yes, I always wonder about Tech and how much proximity wise people care about them. Certainly you've got, you know, the three schools we follow. And I think, you know, the reason we haven't followed softball quite as much this year is because the Shockers kind of had a down year. But then Oklahoma State is very close, and they've been good the last few years, handful of years, not to the level of Oklahoma. So you've got the two Kansas schools, the two Oklahoma schools, and then are people around here stiff and Tech? I doubt it, but everybody's going to go for Tech against Texas. I would think that's not a Longhorns fan. So that could be high drama tonight in game two of the College World Series, championship series between Texas and Texas Tech. And then you've got, this. Did you see this morning? So I don't, when did this come down? This came down. No, this came down yesterday and I didn't see it until this morning. The system that's been being tested in the minor leagues for balls and strikes, Rob Manfred said it's coming to a proposal to the competition committee this offseason. Like, this could be in play next year. I have been told that this thing is pretty cool, that it is actually adding to the game, you know, that it is making a fun experience for fans. And like, why not, right? So I don't know if this is going to get contentious, but yes, it sounds like the goal will be to have this in play next year for opening day.
Wow.
And it'll be it's an automated system that can essentially correct a ball and strike call.
You know, I have gone to a handful of WinSurge games this year, I don't exactly know the mechanisms of how it works. It's like a challenge, right? Like if a batter, or I guess a pitcher for that matter, wants to challenge it, they can, correct? It's not necessarily from the
correct
dugout. It's actually the player that's able to do that. I've not noticed, maybe it's happened, but it is
two
not.
Two times they'll get two challenges.
It is not changed my viewing experience at all with the games I've gone to see the WinSurge in action. I can't imagine that it would change my viewing experience at all in watching Major League Baseball games. So there might be some hand-wringing about this and whatever, but at the end of the day, accuracy, I think, is always going to trump everything else. And if that makes things more accurate, then I'm going to be on board with it. And I would have a hard time thinking it's going to change anybody's viewing experience or slow the game down or anything like that. It seems like, from what I've seen in the minors, it's a pretty quick deal. Like, they want to challenge it.
It's a helmet tap.
Yep.
And it goes like that. You get two of them in a game, and there it is.
Then you're done.
What'll be into there? Look, there are a lot of interesting wrinkles. So that's it, pretty much. Like, you're in it. It is based on the batter's height, so it's not like a generic strike zone. So it's probably basically what you see when you watch a game in the little box, right? And you get twice a game, you can challenge it. I think what gets really interesting here, there's a couple of things. How do you determine, like, because if it's the pitcher or the batter doing it and there's a limit on it, maybe the manager doesn't want that particular pitch challenged, right? If it's a 1-0 count, they right. call a strike that you think should be a ball.
But if it's a 3-2 count and the difference between a walk and a strikeout, right. yeah, like you, right. you might want to look at that.
So that, I think that's an interesting wrinkle. I think that'll kind of be fun to see the strategy. The other part of this is apparently now this is easy to do for Rob Manfred because this competition committee, which was collectively bargained, has an umpire in it. So there's no way, apparently, according to what I'm reading, that it can get voted down because owners and players are going to want this, right? It's the umpires who would potentially, I believe, are also unionized who would not like this in theory, because I'll bet you a dollar right now, within 5 years, we've got machines calling balls and strikes, which is probably the way it should be, I think. I like having an umpire back there. I think you'd still have an umpire back there because you're going to make, you know, calls at the plate and deal with timeouts and all of those kinds of things. But at this point, if we've got the technology, we should take that human element out of that particular piece. Everywhere else, it's taken out because everything else can be challenged, right? So, you know, no more Angel Hernandez strike zones that we're dealing with in Major League Baseball. So yes, this is only two challenges. That's a first step. I will bet you money very quickly we've got this system calling balls and strikes. I don't know if it can happen on the spot like that, where you have like a green light or a red light or something where, you know, everyone can see it, you know, immediately if it's a ball or a strike, or if an umpire is just looking at something and just looks down, he says, all right, that one's a strike, that one's a ball. Like, you still get your strikeout thing. I don't know how that works, but if the umpires are on the committee and they can just get outvoted, like, yeah. players and owners and coaches, they're going to want all of this because they just want the right call.
They want it to be
right?
accurate.
That's been
the- my favorite thing about the challenge system right now in Major League Baseball is that the players or the teams, the managers have somebody that is able to review it before they decide if they want to challenge or not. And that's one of my favorite things is when there's a questionable call or a borderline call, the camera immediately pans to the manager and you see the manager looking at somebody and they're watching yep. it. And then more often than not, they're kind of like, I see Quatrero do it all the time where he's kind of like, just kind of waves it off really quick. And it's very, very fast. Like, it's not like we're slowing the game down. No. When they do need to go and review it, that can take a little bit of time. But more often than not, we're probably looking at 30 seconds max when somebody's reviewing the play and the manager is deciding whether or not they want to challenge. And so I would imagine that they would be able to recreate something like that for a balls and strikes type challenge system too. I've got no issue with it. I feel like Major League Baseball has done a good job with the way that they've implemented challenges so far. And I think that balls and strikes, that's the next natural step. I've got no problem with it.
And I do think there will be a fan element of enjoyment when it is a big moment. They challenge and the call gets overturned. Like, that'll be a moment of excitement for the fans too. Like, oh yes, I told you so. Or when somebody gets rung up, maybe when they weren't to begin with, and the home team does it, that's going to be. I mean, that's going to fire people up. So I think. Look, I get where the umpires might be concerned that it's going to take their jobs. And I don't want robots and AI taking our jobs for the most part. This is an easy one, though. Like, the technology's there. The challenge system in general does take too long in baseball. and they'll get better at that. This one, though, shouldn't have to. So that's out there. Rob Manfred's never made any, you know, secrets about his desire to do something like this. They'll take it in baby steps. It'll probably happen next year in Major League Baseball. And then I'll bet you that's how we're calling balls and strikes full time. I'm going to call it within, I say five. I think it might be faster than that. Like if this runs smoothly, people are going to really, really, really like this. So that's coming. That's another headline out there that we saw. There was a trade that the Rams and Panthers, and I'm headline browsing here. We're going to talk Royals fans in the next segment. Jalen Thompson's going to join us. There was almost a trade in the NFL draft. The Rams were trying to move up to number 8. They put the video out of this, is why it's on the mind. So the Panthers, you might remember, took McMillan. Now, he was my favorite receiver in the draft, so I really liked that. They ended up taking him. If the Rams are moving up to number 8, what do you think they would have been looking for? What do you think they would have been? It wouldn't have been for a quarterback.
It wouldn't have been for a quarterback. It would have probably been.
I don't think it would have been for Teteroa McMillan, which is who the Panthers ultimately took.
Offensive line, maybe?
Maybe.
Defense line or edge rusher. I don't know. I mean, that's interesting because ultimately it didn't happen, but I can't imagine that it would have been for McMillan. And it wouldn't,
the Rams.
It certainly wouldn't have been a quarterback. I don't know. That's a good question.
I love, we've got to have more of this with the NFL draft. Like, how can we get more access to behind the scenes stuff? The next great, you know how they did quarterback on Netflix or whatever? Like, the next great one will basically be a real life documentary like the movie Draft Day. How could you get unfettered access to a team on the draft during, like, a day before and during the draft? Could you imagine how good that would be? That would be so good. Now, if it's a team and they don't end up doing anything exciting, maybe it falls flat. Maybe. But you have to imagine just the conversations are happening, right? At least they're, because if it was this right here, and let's say they're following the Rams, even that right there, that almost trade, like, that's an entire episode or two. Like, that's a whole thing. We would eat that up, I think. That's it. I don't know. I can't figure out who I think they would have taken, though. I don't think it would have been anything sexy or juicy or anything like that. And then, Max, you got the Oilers taking down the Panthers. You sticking to your guns. You had the Oilers in that Stanley Cup final, didn't you?
Yes, I told you. Leon Draisaitl is a man. Yeah, McDavid is a team, but he feeds off that, and Draisaitl will put it in the net. I like him.
That's, you know, if only the markets were bigger. Like, why don't we have these? Why do we do this with the NBA? Oh, if only it's Edmonton and Miami. They're not going to, you know, that's not a large enough market to draw the interest to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Florida's,
I'm sure,
top
it'll be an incredible
market,
Stanley Cup Finals. It usually is an incredible Stanley Cup Finals. And we'll see if Canada can snap the streak and get Edmonton to get him a championship for the first time in forever since Canada's won a Stanley Cup Final. That's also happening. All right.
I saw your boy throw a touchdown in OTAs.
Shador.
Headline on ESPN.
Huge. I saw that headline. Was Shador taking first team reps?
Future Hall of Famer. He throws a touchown in OTAs. Holy cow.
You know what's crazy? We haven't talked at all about Chiefs OTAs other than when Felix was in. Because I don't know that there's – Rashi Rice was out working yesterday. It was kind of the story of the day. We don't know – like, what? Isn't it a little bit weird this OTA season? We'll get mandatory minicamp, but the Chiefs don't even have, like, they don't have holdout threats. They don't have contract negotiations. They brought the same team back. Like, it's just kind of practice for them. Like, there's nothing else really. I mean, left tackle is what we're all watching, but we're not going to learn anything about that at OTAs. They're on pads. Like, I don't know what to pull from OTAs for the Chiefs, who have had plenty of offseason drama the last few, whether it's a Chris Jones contract negotiation, whether it's an off the field, like, behavior issue, whatever it is. Oh, there we go. Rick says Trey Smith is sitting. Okay. I'll have to look into that. I will do that, Rick, and find out why that is, because I have not seen that.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And joining us now, Jalen Thompson, Kansas City Star Royals reporter, our Royals insider. And we are, you know, we are pretty excited to have Jalen in a day early because we got doubleheader Royals baseball today, Jalen. Welcome in. How are you? You're on mute there, I believe, Jalen.
Woo! We got doubleheader baseball today.
Love it. It's
gonna be fun.
Double dip. So tell me though how this, before we get into all of it, just from a logistical standpoint and how the Royals are going to set this rotation, we keep talking about they have regular rest, they have all these things. Well, now they're not going to. So what do you think they'll do here as Noah Cameron gets pushed today? Because he'll go and then you'll get Reagan's as planned, but Cameron then would be on a day shorter rest. What do you think they're going to do with this?
They have a decision to make. Honestly, they were going to have to make this decision tonight, with Cole Reagan's supposedly coming back to pitch on Thursday. I mean, well, which would have been Thursday today. But, you know, now everything is kind of just jumbled. So Noah Cameron's going to pitch game one, and then they got to decide what they're going to do. Is he going to go back down to AAA to activate Cole Reagan's? Are they going to make another roster move and carry six pitchers for the interim until they figure things out? But Cole Reagan's has to come off the injured list, so they have to figure out who's going to either be sent down, so that can happen. But for right now, like I said, North Cameron's going to pitch game one at 12:45 at Busch Stadium, and Cole Reagan's is going to pitch at 6:45, and that's what we know right now.
The only concerning thing when we're talking about the pitching staff that I can see with carrying six starters is that the bullpen is fairly thin right now. I mean, Lucas Erceg is on the IL. Hunter Harvey is still not back. You know, I wonder, are we at a point now with the way that Michael Lorenzen has struggled lately that maybe he could move to the bullpen at least temporarily where, you know, they say, hey, look, we're gonna run with the five guys that are pitching best right now, but Lorenzen, we need you to come out of the pen. He did that for a while last season. Is that something on the table?
That's something that is possibly on the table as well. Like you mentioned, Tommy, Michael Lorenzen, his last two starts haven't been really great, and he acknowledges that. He said he has to go back and look at some things to try to figure out how to be better. Lefties are hitting him right now, and it's something he needs to make an adjustment there against lefties. But like I said, they have to figure out what's the best decision for the Royals, especially with Cole Reagan's coming back. Because you have, like you said, six starters. Only five can really start. And I don't think a six-man is where they want to go with off days pretty much every Monday throughout June. So they don't really need a six-man. So it just depends on what they really feel like. And if that is the tough call of sending Noah Cameron down, then that's just kind of how they got to do it.
Yeah, is it though? Like, why can't Lorenzen's been struggling. Just he can go to the bullpen for a little bit, can't he? Like, isn't that the better call right now for a team that is no longer in this position of strength in the wild card race? Like, they need to win all these games. If we've all been watching the same games, I don't think there's any way right now you would say you trust Lorenzen more than Noah Cameron, at least right now. And you can just put Lorenzen in the bullpen for a minute.
I think that is what you probably will want to do. But here's the issue. Lorenzen just pitched on Tuesday. So he's probably going to be down for a couple of days just to, even if you made that switch and did that, and now you don't have a reliever in your own back pocket, and you have two games today, you have three games coming up this weekend. So that could be kind of difficult to be a reliever short, basically, if you were to do that with Lorenzen. So I think that maybe the short term could be sending Noah Cameron down. Then you transition Lorenzen to the bullpen and bring Cameron back up. But the only thing about that, though, is you send a pitcher down. I think he has to be now for a certain amount of days for coming up. I think it's 10 days or something like that. So it's a lot to consider.
You know, it might not actually be a terrible thing for the Royals bullpen, at least, that yesterday's game got rained out. I mean, that gives them a day's rest. I mean, they a lot of relievers pitched on Tuesday night for the Royals. I can't believe, Jalen, that we're this far into the interview and we haven't even mentioned Jack Caglione. Here we are. Jack Caglione, MLB debut on Tuesday.
You know what else he does? You know what else he does?
He does pitch. They could throw him. No, they're not going to do that. 0 for 5 in his debut. Hit the ball really hard on the screws a couple of different times. It's hilarious to me that he was the only guy in the lineup that didn't have a hit. And it's a Royals team that has been desperate for offense, and he's the only one that doesn't get a hit. The hype is there, the excitement is there, all of that. But now that the debut is done, he can kind of settle in, right? Like it's not like he's not going to get the attention, but at least the monkey's off his back for his very first game in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't quite remember anyone having an MLB debut where literally it's like two times as many media members on the road that are in the dugout waiting for Jack Caglione. It was like, I would say, a good 24, 25 people waiting for him to speak with the media when he debuted. And everyone was watching batting practice. His family was there. It was just a whole spectacle, just waiting for this future prospect, this star, to make his debut. And like you said, he hit the baseball hard 5 times pretty much. And it's a different sound when it comes off his bat. I just remember watching batting practice on Tuesday and hit a ball that landed halfway up the beam at Busch Stadium. That's just a BP. So I expect him to start in right field. Either one of these games, he was supposed to do it yesterday before the rain out. So it's going to be unique to see what he does out there in the outfield. And then his first hit, his first home run when that comes. And yeah, like you said, it's time for him to get going, and he'll say it himself. He's ready for it all.
Are we okay? You mentioned the hype around it. I've wondered, because he isn't the kind of prospect Bobby Witt Jr. was. Like, he's a big time prospect, but where did he? I don't even know where he ranked in the major league, in like MLB.com or wherever everybody puts that. Like, he's not Bryce Harper as a prospect. I think we're being a little unfair with, and I like him a lot. I think he could be a star, but it feels like we're treating him that way when maybe that's not quite where his projections play out a little bit, at least at this point of his career. I'm not saying anything about where he could ultimately end up. I just mean, did this particular hype train get out of control because the Royals need what he does so specifically? Like, I'm trying to figure out why that happened more than a normal call up. There have been guys more highly ranked than him in the pipeline rankings this year that we didn't even know about.
Yeah. I think a lot of it had to do with the home runs, and you see him hitting 460 foot homers and balls on streets and on top of buildings and off the buildings. And when MLB gets a hold of, you know, the next prospect that's hitting home runs like Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, I think that just kind of fuels the hype train even further, where now you couldn't turn around without seeing Jack Caglione do something in the minor leagues. And then coupled with the fact, Jacob, that the Royals offense wasn't doing anything. I mean, they were struggling those last two games against the Tigers at Kauffman Stadium. They only had one earned run in 18 innings. Like, so they needed an infusion, a spark plug. And I think Jack Caglione was just, at a certain point in time, you knew they had to hit the red button. And they hit that red button, and now they're trying to see what's different about their team and try to get back in this playoff race, because right now they're on the outside looking in.
The Royals have been open to making changes this season, you know, as needed. MJ Melendez is down in the minors. They DFA'd Hunter Renfro, obviously. Jack Caglione coming up. I think that now there is one more glaring issue with the current guy on the roster, at least offensively, and that's Michael Massey. Do you see them doing anything with Massey? Do you see them giving him a break from the big leagues for a while? Do they want him to try to still be with the team and work through it? I mean, he's been pretty bad, and their expectations for him, I think, was that he was going to repeat what he did a year ago and take another step forward in his development. They've been willing to make changes with those other guys. Do you think they'll do anything with Massey?
Now they brought Jack Caglione up. I think that, like you said, Tommy, that could be the next discussion with what they want to do, because in theoretically now, Massey is limited to just playing either second base in a split platoon with Jonathan India, or he's going to be possibly in the outfield a little bit. It's hard to kind of project where he could be in the lineup. Plus, with Caglione being left-handed, you have another left-hander that you can throw out there. And if he's going to be a DH and instead of playing right field some days, then you start to see, like, well, where is Massey going to play at? He didn't play in Tuesday's game, I don't believe, and he was back in the lineup supposedly for Wednesday before he got rained out. I think that they have to really need, they need him to hit. That's what they really need him to do. And he's the best second baseman that they have. But Jonathan India really only feels comfortable at second base. So he's just got so many different variables they have to work through. But if I'm Michael Massey, I'm trying to figure out how to get out of my slump so I can stay up here at the big league level. Because like you said, they have addressed the need. If a guy's not performing, they go to someone else to try to get this thing going in the right direction. And we're in June. It's no longer, yeah. It's still early. No, we're approaching the middle of the season. Teams know who they are now by June 1st. They need to be better. And to do that, they need Michael Massey to hit. They need Salvador Perez to hit. They need Vinny Pasquale to hit. Jack Caglione cannot be the main answer to the solution of the Kansas City Royals getting back to the playoffs. They need everyone from that 2024 team to perform like they did in 2025.
And they have made these moves quickly. It is already June 5th, but it's only June 5th, right? Like they're not only making swift like decisions, big ones, they're making them swiftly. Last thing, because we got just about a minute left here, Jalen. So with knowing that and knowing that they're clearly telling us they're willing to be aggressive here, how aggressive do you envision them being at the trade deadline?
I think they're going to go get another bat. I really do. I look at it from my years covering the team in 2023. They needed a starter. They got Cole Reagans. They flipped Aroldis Chapman for Cole Reagans. You see how that worked. 2024, they needed relief. They went and they got Hunter Harvey, Lucas Ursin. 2025, they need a hitter. So I can see them potentially going to get two hits, honestly.
Okay.
Like I said, Jack Caglione can't be the story. He can't be the savior. They don't want him to.
He can be today, Jalen. Two home runs. Let's do it. It's a doubleheader. Follow Jalen at the KC Star. We're right up against the break. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. See you later.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is all Brockton Caster, and we are glad to be with you. If you missed anything there with Jalen Thompson, honestly, it became too much to cover in not enough time. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We will get Jalen in next week, of course, to dig more into what we sort of teased to there at the end. He thinks, yes, aggressive at the trade deadline, and yes, bats would be what are in play here, which, Tommy, make a ton of sense, right? Like that's kind of what we're all thinking they need. The interesting part of that, though, is which ones? Who is left out? Do you look for a center fielder now with, you know, Jack Caglione playing right and the value enhanced of what Kyle Isbell needs to bring the team defensively? Are you ready to put Drew Waters and Mark Canna on, you know, do something else? Like all these little things that you got to think about now, because if Caglione is locked into the outfield, which he probably will be, then India is going to have to be probably locked into second base. And so there really aren't a lot of places to go get bats. Now, they could get lower level bats to be sort of platoon guys, but they have lots of those. So this will be interesting, like, to see how they try to navigate this. And honestly, it lends itself to me, it lends themselves into making a bigger splash, because it has to be like a no doubter. This player makes us better than whoever it is that they're replacing, who all the players we could imagine getting replaced at this point have been fairly productive this year.
Yeah, I think Jalen makes a really good point. You know, when he's talking about how the Royals have been willing to make moves on players that are not producing, they have not sat on their hands this year. You know, they made the move with MJ Melendez. They made the move with Hunter Renfro. Both of those were much needed. Those guys were abysmal. And, you know, I think with Melendez, the Royals still feel like they can hopefully get something out of him down the road. That's why they didn't, you know, totally let him go. They just moved him down to AAA. But with Hunter Renfro, that experiment is done and gone. You know, they tried Kevin Biggio for a while, and he didn't really produce. They DFA'd him as well, and then he accepted a minor league assignment. They have made moves with players that have gotten good amounts of playing time this year. Michael Massey is kind of the odd man out at this point. And it's simply primarily because he's not producing at the plate. And now with those other guys gone, it illuminates the light even brighter on his shortcomings so far this season. And also knowing what he was able to do a year ago. If you'll recall, Michael Massey was one of their better offensive players last season. He had pop, and he was hitting home runs, and, you know, he wasn't, I don't think his average was particularly high.
You spent a lot of time last year giving me a hard time. I liked
Michael Massey last year. I felt like Michael Massey was, you know, was producing at a high level offensively a season ago. And, you know, through the first 2 months of the regular season this year, it really was, I think, the fact that you had Melendez and Renfro playing so poorly that sort of shielded Massey and criticism from him, because he wasn't as bad as those guys. But as soon as those two guys are out of the way, well, then it shines a light pretty brightly on the shortcomings of Massey so far this year.
Yeah. And it's hard because you over time, you really like the players. Like,
and now they really have Jonathan India, where last year they didn't. And so Massey was locked into second base. This year, it's a lot different because they do have India.
I mean, he is just above the Mendoza line at 204. Drew Waters and Mark Canna. So this is where it gets really interesting. So Isbell, Waters, Canna. I think Isbell has added value now as Cags learn how to play right field. He can cover up a little bit if Cags has some deficiencies early on. Canna and Waters sort of become and have been, I mean, they're both hitting like 280 this year. Like, you know, Waters 282, Canna 264, right? They're getting on base when they're out there at a decent enough clip. They're just not hitting for any power. But as far as like platoon players that teams would trade for, that's kind of what those two guys are. So I don't think you'd want to bring in another one of the, like, you already have those guys. Like, between those three, you have rotational bench type pieces. So if you're going to bring somebody in, and India now is going to play second base because Garcia is locked in at third, it's going to have to be for a significant, no doubt about it, this guy will start all the time kind of player. And maybe center field makes the most sense. But Kyle Isbell is having a nice season offensively too. By his own standard, he's been the best offensive player of those three names we listed. So I don't know if they make a trade, and I think they will too. It's going to have to be for a big time asset, I think. I don't think it's going to be like a platoon type outfielder. They already have that. They have three of them. And all three are handy, and I'd like to see all three stick around. If they go, and unless one of them are involved in a trade, if they go make that trade, it's got to be for somebody that becomes an everyday starter, to me, anyway.
Well, I absolutely agree. They're not going to go and make a trade for a part-time player, a platoon player, you know, somebody that can help them a little bit of the time, if they're going to make a change, if they're going to be aggressive at the trade deadline, it's going to be for an impact bat. It's going to be for somebody else. And it might very well be left field. I could see it maybe even potentially being right field and moving Cags pretty much solely to DH at that point. But then that limits what they want to do with Salvi and Vinny. So I would imagine it'd be like left field would probably be the way they would look at that, because I do feel like Kyle Isbell has solidified his place in the lineup number one and his place on the field number two. And you could be, you know, maybe he could move to left field, but I think he plays a pretty decent center field. So I would feel okay with rolling with him. So, but they're going to try to, if they're going to make a move for a bat, it's not going to be a part-time player or somebody else that they can platoon. You mentioned it. I agree with you. They've got a lot of those guys already. It's going to be a high-impact, everyday-type player, somebody who can be a difference maker day in and day out.
Or it's not a batter. It's not a hitter. It's more relief to the bullpen. I don't think they would. I don't think they need anything to the rotation as of right now. But you never say no to that. You never don't look, right? I don't know. I think it all depends on the next couple of weeks. If you see Cags infuse a little power into the lineup, if you see Salvi and Vinny sort of pick it up as we think they have, if Bobby Witt Jr. picks it up in the past, like if those guys get to what they normally do with Cags there, I'm not sure the most pressing need then is a bat, even though that's the thing that's been so terrible for them this year. I get it. It to me might become a bullpen piece. This rock solid bullpen that we've been talking about now with Ursig hurt, Harvey still hurt. Estevez, thank goodness, has been really good, but it's pretty shaky. I mean, Zerpa, I still like cringe. He's just too hittable. I think it's a bullpen piece. If Cags does what he can do and the other guys get back to their norm, I'm thinking of that a bullpen for this team. I think a bullpen piece might be more pressing. Canna and Waters can give you righty lefty matchups. So if you believe in Isbell's defense, like I don't know.
I think some of it is going to come down to how does the offense overall, how does that pan out between now and the trade deadline with Cags in the lineup? Like, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. Having Cags in the lineup, does that make the offense overall better? And if so, then maybe it's not a pressing need to go after another bat. This is interesting. I want to get your thought on this. So ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan posted his most recent trade deadline preview. He's got the Royals as aggressive buyers, backing up what Jalen Thompson said. He's suggesting the best fit for the Royals at the deadline would be to go after Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks, the third baseman. And to me, you know, I think that would show that they feel like Michael Garcia can be versatile in the position that he plays, that maybe he can go and play the outfield. You've got a lot of moving parts in this lineup, guys that can do different things and go a bunch of different areas. And really outside of what, like Bobby Witt Jr. playing shortstop, that's about the only position set in stone, right? With one player. I don't know. I feel like Suarez is a power bat. He's a guy that's got a lot of pop in his swing. He can hit a lot of home runs. Do you like that potential move if the Royals go that direction?
He's on a club option this year, so he'd be strictly a rental. You basically are just paying money. Yeah, I do. Like if you can make that only about money, then yes, because he does provide power, and Garcia can play second, Garcia can play outfield, India can play second, India can play outfield. Yes, I think that could help them because he does a thing that they need pretty desperately. Sure, yeah. I mean, I'd be on board with that kind of a trade, yes. Does he have the kind of power that plays at Kauffman? Like, I'd really have to dig in, but it's an interesting name for sure. We can hit that as well when we return. We're going to give away some golf when we return.
We've got stadium news. I don't know if you did. You see what I sent you?
Yeah, I got stadium news. You sent me that. I'm going to let you update us on what happened in Missouri because I've not seen that yet. So we've got a lot to get to in the next segment. Stick around. More Sports Daily coming right up.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Tommy, let's, before we get to the stadium talk and finish our thoughts on Eugenio Suarez, let's get our golf given away here. We got Tim Fitzgerald coming up. We expect later in the hour. So Crestview Country Club, great supporters of the program. You guys have heard us talk about them a million times. They are hooking us up with a round of golf every Friday to give away this month. You don't have to use them on Friday. It's just when we're giving them away. So what it is a texting contest. It's a round of golf for two, cart included. I want you to get out there, check out what we're always talking about, where we have so much fun and enjoy it so much. Get out there, check out the facility, play a little golf. You can do that. All you have to do is text the short code GOLF. The keyword golf to the short code 20357. So 20357 is the number you text. Golf is the word that you text, and that enters you for a chance to win some golf out at Crestview. We'll do this once a week through the month of June. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day, and again, we'll draw winners every Friday, and we continue to see a massive, massive turnout on this giveaway, which is exactly what we hope for. We want everybody to get out there and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it tells me that a lot of you out there, you've heard us talk about Crestview a lot, and you want to go and check it out. You want to go and experience it, play some golf out there. So, of course, you know, you can do that once a day. You can enter that contest. Again, the keyword is golf, and the number is 20357.
Good luck, everybody. Good luck. All right. So, Tommy, enlighten me. I got paywalled on the article you sent me. So I saw the beginning, and then I'm just going to let you lead us on the news of the day as it pertains to stadiums with Royals and Chiefs.
Yeah, the Kansas City Star reported like in the middle of the night last night that the Missouri Senate narrowly approved an incentives plan that is intended to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in the state of Missouri. If you'll recall, the last time that this was going through the lawmakers in the state, the House easily passed it. The Senate did not. But this time the Senate has passed it. The House is expected to overwhelmingly pass it because they did last time. So more than likely, this is going to be on the desk of the governor, and more than likely, he's going to sign it. So this is very close to becoming law for the state of Missouri. It's this big incentives plan. But here's the thing about it. From what I've been able to read, they're looking at being able to provide 50% incentive for the Royals and the Chiefs to stay in Missouri. Kansas is providing 70%. So even though this is something that the state of Missouri is likely to pass and get through and become law, it's still significantly less than what the state of Kansas is able to do.
And if I'm not mistaken, this money would be used to renovate the current Arrowhead, right?
I think that's correct from what I've been able to read. So yes,
that means no dome. That would mean no Super Bowl. The NFL's not coming to play a Super Bowl at Arrowhead in February. So, I mean, look, we're about to find out if this goes through, and that is the offer. We're about to find out how badly Clark Hunt wants to stay in Missouri. I've told you I think he wants to. I think that's their desire, is to continue that. And I get it. That's the family legacy, Arrowhead, the history, all of it. I get it. I've always thought it made more sense for the Royals to be somewhere over there if they can get downtown or whatever. So, you know, I've always been comfortable at a 50-50 shot for Kansas. And I still think that's probably the case. The reason I don't think it's overwhelmingly Kansas is because I think that the Chiefs want to stay in Missouri. I don't think they want to give that up. So we'll see what happens here. I would still call it 50-50.
Well, you know what? The one thing,
not 70%.
What I'm interested in knowing, and this goes back to what you had asked about before, and this article from the Kansas City Star does not, from what I can tell, address this, is apparently the 50% incentive can go to a new stadium as well. I mean, this is what, I mean, so it says the legislation, if signed into law, would allow Missouri to offer incentives to pay for up to 50% of new or improved stadiums for the teams. So it doesn't look like that limits just to renovation, that it,
yeah,
it
I don't
could
think
potentially
it limits
be
it, but
new.
I think that's what they've said and proposed that they would do. on the Missouri side. Unless I've missed something, I don't know that they've ever proposed a new stadium on the Missouri side. I've always seen it as just renovations to Arrowhead. If that changes and they can put a domed stadium over there, then I think Kansas's chances, I'd probably put it more like 40-60, right? I think the Chiefs would like to stay over there. 70% is more than 50%, though, and if money talks, it's still an easy decision. You go take the 70%. Your proximity and your location don't change. And for the Chiefs, you're getting a better offer than you deserve because you should build your own damn stadiums. So, they're going to pick one of them.
Yeah, the last time that this reached the House, it was overwhelmingly passed. The final vote was 108-40. And so knowing that the Senate passed it this time around and they didn't last time, more than likely this is going to overwhelmingly be passed by the House as well and will go to the governor's desk in Missouri. I think the only thing that could potentially happen, I think it's more likely for the Chiefs than it is the Royals, is that the Chiefs are telling Missouri, look, if you guys can even get close, like if you can give us something, we want to stay in Missouri and we're willing to sort of concede the better deal on the Kansas side.
Just such philanthropists. Right.
Like I could see them going to Missouri and telling them that. I don't think that matters for the Royals whatsoever. I think the Royals are going to go wherever the deal is best. But football is different than baseball.
Kansas gets the Royals and not the Chiefs.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's ultimately where the dust settles, that we see the Royals coming over and Clark Hunt and the Chiefs say, look, we've got such a great history in Missouri and we're willing to take 50% instead of 70 just to stay on the Missouri side. That's not the best financial deal to them, but emotionally, philosophically, that I could see that potentially happening for the Chiefs.
Because it was the Royals affiliate that bought that.
Correct.
That bought that land up. Yeah.
Correct.
That could definitely happen. I don't know that I'd like that for Kansas. It's always kind of been like, yeah, we'll take the Royals if we can get the Chiefs.
Considering their star bonds, I don't have an issue with it being the Royals only. Like,
81 games is 81 games.
Right. Right. Sure.
Like you can, if you time that right, and the Royals are built on the backs of Bobby Witt Jr. and maybe Jack Caglione, and you're probably going to have a buzz around the team that has them well attended and making some money. You know, it's that fan base has proven over recent memory that when they're good, people come. But, no offense, but when you give them 6 or 7 years of being one of the bottom three teams in baseball, guess what? They don't come. So that's a little bit of the risk there. A Chiefs game is going to sell out if the Chiefs are 0-16, right? So and you get the multi-use and you get the Super Bowl potential and you get all of those things that come with football. We're about to find out what Clark Hunt wants to do. If he takes less money, then it's all been a leverage play, right? The state of Kansas has been a leverage play to try to get something through Missouri. And that's, that's business. I don't know that people would be, I mean, I don't even know how much people really want this to happen anyway. I think the temperature is cool. I think lawmakers see the potential here and they're trying to do their job the best they know how, but I don't know what the population thinks. Like, does anybody really care? Does anybody around here really care? I don't think they do.
Well, and remember, the whole thing that started this was the Royals anyway. The Chiefs were kind of just along for the ride at the very beginning. I mean, it was John Sherman from day one that was like, we need a new ballpark. We're not going to stay at Kauffman. And then it was kind of like the Chiefs were alongside them, kind of as it was kind of a package deal at first. And then that was swiftly voted down by the taxpayers in Jackson County. And so from that point on, they've kind of split. Like they haven't really been working together on this. It wouldn't shock me if Clark Hunt says, we feel loyal to Missouri. And so if you can even get close, if you can get to 50% and this ends up passing, and we at least know that we can renovate Arrowhead, or we know that we've got the opportunity. I mean, one thing that the Chiefs could potentially look at is if they end up staying at the Truman Sports Complex, even at 50% and the Royals leave, then they've got that entire complex
right
at that point. And they can do a lot of different things at that complex. You could build an entire village around a new and renovated Arrowhead. Yeah, it probably, It probably wouldn't be a dome necessarily, but it could be a pretty cool area if the Royals vacate and then the Chiefs have that entire plot of land to do with what they want.
Yeah, and I don't know that you'd put a dome on that stadium because you're not drawing in Final Fours to a baseball stadium and doing those kinds of things that you could potentially do with a football stadium. I would be fine with it. You're getting 81 dates guaranteed, right, in a baseball stadium and probably an all-star game at some point and those other, you know, tertiary things. It would be more appealing than Children's Mercy Park. It'd be a whole lot more expensive, of course, but I just pulled this up for the Royals, by the way. So the Royals this year are at about 21,000 fans per game, almost 1,000 up from last year. So from 2015, 16, 17, they were up like over 30 on average. They started to climb a little bit last year. They're sort of matching, or they're actually a little ahead of where they were last year. And I would suspect if they stay in the mix, if they heat up, and that's still gonna climb a little bit. So you're getting the fans ramped back up to a level sort of middle of the pack in Major League Baseball, which is a really nice achievement, I think, for a small market team. So you know the momentum and the timing is good. The question is, when is the stadium done? Are the current players still a part of it, or are you really betting that the organization can stay relevant even after this current generation, which, you know, it's been a good start for John Sherman and company for sure.
And they've got Bobby Witt locked in, you know, long-term. So, you know, he's not,
well, I don't, when is the stadium built? 2031. I mean, we're talking 6-7 years from now.
Well, the lease is up at Kauffman at Truman Sports in 2030. So they would have to be done by then. They'd have to be in a new place by then.
Five seasons from now. So you'd get a little bit. Yeah, a little bit probably. So
a little bit of what? A little bit of Bobby Witt? You'd get a lot of Bobby Witt still. Like he's 24, 23.
If you sign him to a second contract, you get a lot of Bobby Witt. Right.
It's an 11-year deal, right? Like he's under an 11-year contract, I believe.
Let me see what age he'll be. I think, let's see real quick. He did, but it started and it buys out arbitration. So he is a free agent potentially. Oh yeah, 2038. Yeah, opt out start though in 2031. That's what it is. So he could opt out right as they're building a new stadium and he'll be making $35 million a year at those points. If all things continue, he will opt out in 2031. By the way baseball salaries go, he could make $60 million a year, like the way we're headed, the way the trends are headed for star players. So it doesn't, I mean, that's down the road and he loves Kansas City and they may pony up. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. But that's all there for you. There was news that Missouri finally got something done, which is what we've been waiting for. And now basically a 3-week countdown is going to be on. Kansas isn't coming with more to the table. So if Missouri pushes this through, the Chiefs will have a decision to make. And that'll be, you know, and then the Royals become another storyline to follow. But as far as the Chiefs, are they going to take less money to stay over there? I think, again, there's at least a 50-50 chance that yes, they would.
Yeah, you know, as a betting man, I would probably say at this point, assuming that Missouri passes this deal, and it looks likely that they will, I think at the end of the day, when the dust settles, we'll probably have the Royals in Kansas and the Chiefs will probably stay in Missouri. I think Clark Hunt and the Chiefs would be willing to take less to stay in Missouri. They just want something from the state of Missouri. I think they'll be loyal in that regard. So that would be where I would suggest that the dust settles. Now, if something crazy happens,
the Royals can get downtown Kansas City, though. They might take 50 instead of 72.
I don't know. I don't know if they would. I mean, like, I think it's different financially for Major League Baseball for the Royals. I think knowing the way that, you know, small market teams operate, John Sherman is going to want all the help he can possibly get. He's going to want the best financial deal possible. There's no shortage of money in the NFL. So that's why I think loyalty may win out for Clark Hunt. I don't think it's that way with John Sherman necessarily. You know, you've got Clark Hunt's dad and, you know, all the different things that he did in on the Missouri side and all of that. It wouldn't shock me if that's what ends up happening. Now, on the flip side of that, if something happens and Missouri doesn't pass the deal, then all bets are off and both teams are probably more likely to come to Kansas. But it does look fairly likely that Missouri will pass this deal.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. We'll just have to. Well, I've put it in the hands of Clark Hunt, honestly. Like, that's what it's going to come down to. Speaking of the Chiefs, Rick brought this up. Trey Smith sitting out is one interesting thing to watch. I don't know how much that matters. I think that it's pretty much just him. He's on a franchise tag, so he's not showing up to voluntary workouts. And I think that's probably fine. I don't think there's a holdout threat at all, at least not from what I've read. Like, this is different than Chris Jones. Trey Smith's about to get a ton of money as a guard if he plays on the tag. Not doing the non-mandatory workouts, it's almost like protection. You don't want to be on a franchise. Like, you don't want to go get hurt there. So you gotta minimize all those risks as best you can. And that's pretty par the course for this kind of stuff. So I don't know that this is all that surprising. And I don't get the sense. I don't know if you've seen anything different. I don't get the sense that there is any contention. As they say, you know, they're going to say they're still trying to work on a long-term deal. I'm sure they are. I doubt that happens, but I'm sure they're talking. But it sounds like it's not really that big a deal.
I'm actually a little surprised that they haven't gotten a long-term deal done.
Really?
I am, because remember, they were able to, and at least initially, free up some money. And you would think that, you know, at least the way that my brain connected the dots was that they moved Joe Tooney and they basically traded a longer term deal for Joe Tooney to hopefully have a longer term deal for Trey Smith. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed Trey Smith to the franchise tag. I think that in my mind, the goal was to get Trey Smith locked up long term. Otherwise, you let him walk in free agency as opposed to tagging him. I was surprised when they did tag him, but then my immediate thought after they moved Joe Tooney was, okay, I understand why they're franchise tagging Trey Smith so they can have some money to be able to then sign him long term. So I am a little surprised that it has not happened by now.
I get it. I think that was what we initially thought, but then we saw them literally bring everybody back. I think at that point it was like, actually, that's what they're using that money for. I think they're pretty comfortable letting Trey Smith, because they already have it budgeted that way, for letting him play on this tag. I don't know if they know what they want to do long term.
But don't you think also that, you know, I know that the overall cost of the deal and everything is going to be pretty large for Trey Smith for a long term deal, but your average that you're paying out per year, I mean, you can defer things. I think it would be more financially beneficial for the Chiefs to not have him play on the tag than what guards end up getting on the franchise tag.
Well, what would they do with the money this year at this point?
That's why I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Like, I don't think it's going to happen right this second. Right. Had it been done a month ago or whatever, like, I feel like it would have been a lot more beneficial for them.
What benefit do the Chiefs have? This is why I don't think anything is going to get done. What benefit did the Chiefs have by doing a long-term deal right now? I don't think they have one at this point. Like, Trey Smith is the most expensive he'll ever be right now. His price tag isn't going to go up if he plays on the tag this year. It'll be the same price tag. I just don't know. Like, if the Chiefs are working on long-term deals, to me, it should be with Trent McDuffie. That's who I would be working on along, because his price tag will go up. I think Trey Smith's at peak price. So if they already have him budgeted in this year, I don't know what gain right now they have by doing a deal versus next offseason. I guess is what, I mean, maybe they really are. They could be. I'm not saying, I don't say that with like supreme confidence. I just can't see what their benefit would be. But we'll get into that as we make our way through OTAs.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. It is Jake Valbrocht and Tommy Caster, and we are glad to be with you here on a Thursday. We are glad to be joined by buddy Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, running things there. You can find him on X at Life of Fitz. Fitz, we have entered a slower season. How is the summer treating you so far?
It hasn't been slow. I mean, K-State basketball and football both had commitments yesterday, and there's a camp in town today. And I like it when things kind of start clicking. It was May that I struggled with. There was just nothing going on in terms of, football, basketball at Kansas State.
You had a big birthday, too, just the other day. How was your birthday?
Yeah. It was good. You know, you really stop celebrating birthdays usually as you get old, but now I celebrate them because I wasn't supposed to be having these birthdays. Yeah. So it's good. It was good. We sat around a fire pit without a fire because it was too hot, but and hung out with some friends. It was awesome.
Fitz, we're happy that you had a happy birthday.
It was nice.
My son's birthday yesterday.
My son's birthday is today.
Well, would you look at that?
I know.
We're just rocking and rolling. Tell me about this international player for K-State. Seems like not a huge deal, kind of a body. Not certainly the type of player we saw come in from Serbia, at least on paper. And this is where I defer to you. Is there a bigger expectation? I saw what he's have, like 4 points a game in Germany? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, he was playing at a higher level, I believe. And
okay.
I think it's just so hard to say. This is why it's hard to have international, because there's different leagues, there's different levels, there's things going on. I think he's a pretty good player. We saw some stuff of him. He kind of has a I don't want to use this comparison to scare anyone, a Coleman Hawkins type of game. Kind of a casual, easy scorer and great passer. And guys, I'm just really fascinated how they're going to put all the parts together, because I think they want another big man, but they're kind of full on the roster right now. I just don't know how this is all going to shake out, because they've got some really nice pieces. How they all fit together is the big question.
I think, even more than just this individual international player coming in for Kansas State, just the overall offseason for Jerome Tang and how active they've been. And you contrast that with how quiet the Jayhawks have been. Like, they've done nothing and they've missed out on a bunch of players. And it seems like Jerome Tang's been able to get, like you mentioned, some really nice pieces, especially when you compare and contrast that to their arch rivals down the road.
Well, this is what surprises me about that. Is in today's game, it's not just about how good your coaches are, how active your coaches are, but what's your NIL? Let's be honest. I mean, some of it comes down to, do you have the money to spend? And K-State's got a group of donors that are very active and interested in getting basketball back to where it was for 50 years. And, that was, unfortunately, that was, 40 years ago. So it's going to just kind of take the right formula, but some donors are spending money, and that honestly surprises me that Kansas is having a financial issue, if it is, with getting players, because that just doesn't kind of make sense. But again, this is the incredible change in the game and how it realigns coaches' abilities, and Bill Self's a great coach, but is he struggling with the portal? And if so, that's not a good sign for the future. But Jerome Tang has won players out of the portal and yet still struggled with the portal because he hasn't hit the right formula. We'll see if this one is.
All right, Fitz, you said football made an addition. I missed that one. Enlighten us. What happened with Kleiman's crew?
Quarterback Miles, I should have a roll of all of my trying to pronounce names for the first time. Miles Tedecky, T-E-E-O, quarterback out of Austin, Texas. Left-hander, unconventional, but led his team to a state title last year. And I was a little surprised that they zeroed in on a quarterback this early, but they really like this kid. And I can't wait to talk to some of the coaches off the record to figure out what it was about him that they pulled the trigger on.
I'd love to know, and I know we're talking football right now. I do want to ask you about baseball real quick. So, of course, Kansas State, they played in the regional. They lost to Texas, the top seed. This is the second year in a row that that K-State was able to, be in the postseason. Where do you feel like this program is headed? Are we looking at consistent postseason appearances for this program? Are they, continuing their ascent?
I think that's the standard now. And, but what's going on in football and basketball has been going on in baseball since day one. You kind of had to rebuild your roster between the draft and unlimited transfers. It's been a mess in baseball for a long time. And, I think he's kind of zeroed in on a formula type of player he wants to to get to Manhattan, and they just didn't quite click at the end of the season. They had some stretches of playing really good baseball. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to arms, too. And I think they lack their one big arm that they had the year before.
I want to get your take on this, Fitz. I was out the last time you were here, so forgive me if you guys talked about this last week. But the big debate right now on the format of basically whether it would be 5 plus 11 or 4, 4, 2, 2, at 1 and at-larges, I personally, and I think I'm in the minority on this, I think taking two guaranteed bids for the Big 12, even though there would be fewer at-larges, would be a much better deal for the Big 12. Just looking back, without Texas and Oklahoma, there aren't very many years the Big 12's ended with two teams in the top 16. I think getting two is kind of a win for the league. I would imagine you disagree with that, though.
Well, a lot of people agree with you. I think where the ADs and presidents and Brett Yormark want to back away from that is that's an admission that the other two conferences are twice as good.
But they kind of are. Like we got to look at, whether they are or they're not, they're going to end up that way in the rankings, whether they make this change or not.
Yeah. So I think that's the conundrum they're in. But, you know, you look at last year, they would have had two in at 16. BYU should have been in and would have certainly been in with four more spots, along with, you know, three SEC teams probably. But it's the next step of this process is guarding the process of selection, because I think Greg Sankey's and ESPN have made it pretty clear that they're willing to corrupt the process to their own advantage. Which is nonsense, but it's going to be really tough for the Big 12 and the ACC to guard against the selection process being corrupted. But I don't think the ADs have any interest in admitting that they're half the conference of what the Big 10 and SEC are. And I don't particularly see it that way either. So as they've said at around the conferences, you just got to go win. You just got to, the conference has to be better. And I think settling is a good way to not get better. And I think they see that too.
Yeah, I understand it. I just like the reality is, I think if you can guarantee me two Big 12 teams, I don't think that's happening very often. If you go to 5 plus 11, I think there are going to be a lot of years where the Big 12 gets one. It'd have been that way last year. I mean, and without Texas and Oklahoma, it'd probably been that way a lot of years.
Now, BYU would have been at 16 teams. BYU would have been in last year.
Were they at 16?
So, yeah, I mean, they're around in there. So, I don't know. It's a mess. And the only reason I think I feel really unsettled about it is the rhetoric coming from Greg Sankey and the SEC. They made it very clear that they don't give two craps about college football. They just want the money. And that's really what's going to destroy college football.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be worth watching. We'll see. The other conferences are standing up for themselves. The answer is for the Big 12 and the ACC to merge. That's the real answer, Fitz. Yeah. Get in the room that way. What do you guys have going at Go Power Cat this week?
Well, there's a camp today at football. Hopefully the weather holds up. So maybe we'll have some stuff out of that and, just doing our normal summer thing of podcasts and breaking information and doing breakdowns of position groups, just your typical summer fare. And, of course, whenever you're short-staffed and guys are on vacation, that's when the news breaks. So that's how that works all summer long.
So we expect some more to break here soon.
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
Fitz, happy belated birthday.
Thank you, boys. Good to hear from you. It's better than the alternate.
That's true. That's true. There goes Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. I look at that way too much on what would it be for the Big 12. I think two teams would be great. Yes, the other leagues would get four. I guess I look at it the reality, like what are the chances in the Big 12 you get that much cream rising to the top every year? To me, the Big 12 feels like a really even league. And most years you're going to probably have three losses at the top because the league is even. And that's fun in the regular season. I mean, we like that, right? But I don't. Texas and Oklahoma, I just think those chances are low.
I think short term, yes. I think that what Brett Yormark is banking on is that we see the Big 12 grow to a point to where you've got some teams that rise above and that can be in the top 10, top 5 in college football. There were a couple of teams last year that were in the top 15 at least, but they need the conference to take that step forward. So I do agree with you in the short term. Yeah, it's a pretty evenly matched league with a lot of parity and teams beating up on each other and all of that. I think long-term Brett Yormark's goal is for that not to be the case in the Big 12.
Maybe so, but is it realistic? I think becomes
that becomes the question. That's the question.
It's a perception thing. I get it. Like, you don't want them, as Fitz pointed out, you don't want them to appear or to have that leg up as, you know, twice as powerful or whatever. I do understand that part to some degree. I'm just afraid if they go 5 plus 11, there are going to be a lot of years where the Big 12 only gets one team in a 16 team playoff. And that's going to sting because you'll have a situation where teams have three or four losses. And I don't know. I don't know how it'll all shake out. But again, I've said this from the beginning. They have a seat at the table. I'm not going to complain, however that shakes out. That is the only part of this that had to be there for college football to be what it currently is. And that is a national interest sport and not regional, is for all these leagues to have a place at the table. They do. I got to just be good with that. I think it's just really interesting strategically, not, you know, philosophically or anything else, just strategically only. Like, you guarantee in Big 12 two teams? Heck yeah. Sign me up for that. We'll see how it all shakes out. Probably. I don't know what I would guess. I'm going to guess it goes the way the SEC wants it to go. That's what I'm going to guess.
100%.
They're going to get their way. That's going to do it for a Thursday here on Sports Daily. Tommy, as we tell people what's on tap for the day, it's pretty easy today. It's Royals baseball.
Cannot wait. Doubleheader, baby. Let's go.
Let's see if we can go sweep St. Louis. Why not? Just get it done. They'll go today with a couple of games. 12:45, so you'll get 12:30 coverage beginning here on KFH for the first one. 6:30 coverage beginning for the second one. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk all about it. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. For Max, for Tommy, thanks to Jalen, thanks to Fitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.